Okay, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2, we've been looking at over the past several weeks, and it is Jonah, the praying prophet, and it records his prayer and his experience in the belly of the great fish. What the New Testament referred to, Jesus referred to as a whale. And we finished up most of our exposition of Jonah chapter 2. And today what I'd like to do is make some practical applications. And one thing that I found is something that really helped me this week as I meditated upon it, and we'll get to that in a moment. But I think it's important as we study the book of Jonah to see how it can be practically applied in our lives. Now, the first thing that as I read Jonah chapter 2, first thing that I learn is that God's chastisements can sometimes be exceedingly severe. I mean, throwing a man off the side of a boat in the midst of a terrible storm, going down thinking he's going to die, only be swallowed by a great fish, be in the digestive system of that great fish, living through it, and feeling like he's at the very bottom of the sea. That's as low as you can go. And it made me aware how sometimes God chastises his people in severe ways. And Jonah's chastisement clearly reveals that it never pays to disobey God. It never pays to go against his revealed will. We know. Jonah knew what God's revealed will was. God told him very simply, go to Nineveh. I want you to go to Nineveh. I'm going to spare that city. I want you to preach repentance. And Jonah didn't say, yes, Lord. He didn't say anything. In his heart, he determined he was going to disobey regardless what God had said. And sometimes chastisement doesn't come immediately. But with Jonah, just one thing after another. And here he is, Jonah chapter 2. He's found in a dark place, spiritually and physically. And it never pays to disobey God. Secondly, even in the midst of the most adverse circumstances, regardless of time or place, it's always necessary, it's always proper to pray. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. The Bible says pray without ceasing. We have to learn to call upon the Lord at all times and in every place. Jonah called upon the Lord in times of great distress. And he is an example from Scripture that our God will hear our prayers in the midst of some of the most distressful circumstances. God will hear. And that humbles my heart to think that we're talking about a guy that was rebelling against God. He was disobedient. Now, God brought him to his senses. He understood finally what was going on, and he called out unto the Lord, but the Lord heard him. He listened to him. God cares about you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He bought you with his own blood in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. His Spirit dwells in you. God cares about his children. So no matter what your circumstance, go to God. Call upon him. I love the promise that we can dial up. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So we can pray. And again, I've told you many times, prayer isn't it's not a posture. It's not how you kneel. It's not how you clasp your hands. It's not in a specific, you can pray anywhere, anytime, even from your heart. Even if you don't say any words audibly, you can go to God. Now this is the part that I learned something. I think it was something that I knew in the back of my mind as I've read my Bible through the years. But I've got a book. I read books. I read a commentary on Jonah. And one man did a character study of Jonah. This guy's name is John G. Butler. And I think he's still alive. Most of my books are written by dead guys. But I think Brother Butler is still alive. And he brought this out. So I'm going to read a lot of his stuff in application of what I'm going to say here. We learn that successful prayer must be earnest, sincere, and according to God's will. And then as I started reading Jonah's prayer, it struck me that it was full of scripture. It was full of portions that had been drawn from other passages in the Bible. He was praying according to the revealed will of God that's found in the Word of God. And perhaps one reason why our prayers sometimes are ineffectual and powerless is because we've not learned to pray according to God's revealed will, as it's found in the Holy Scriptures. And in my study, I ran across this observation made by John Butler that really opened my eyes to the truth about praying according to God's Word and what's already been revealed. One important way we can improve our prayers so that they'll be more acceptable to God is to fill them with Scripture. We must pray according to the will of God in order to have the approval of God. And nothing helps us in knowing the will of God like the Scriptures. You know, we're getting on to the end of the year. I always have a sermon at the end of the year about getting on to you about reading your Bibles. I think this is one of the most important things that you as a believer can do, is spend time in the secret place of the Most High with His Word. Quiet devotion. Looking over the Word of the living God. Jonah's prayer is filled with Scripture, especially the Psalms. And I thought that was significant because the Psalms are filled with prayers and filled with spiritual songs. It is evident that Jonah knew the Word of God well. You cannot pray well if you don't know the Word well. Anyone who wants to improve their prayer life will have to first improve their knowledge of the Scriptures. Failure to learn and know the Word will make our prayers a failure. Some people may think that's pretty harsh, but he quotes Proverbs 28:9. Here's what it says. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. You can't turn your ear away from the Word of God and expect your prayers to be effectual. We want to note here some of the passages of Scripture which Jonah either quoted or else alluded to in order to show how the Word played a big part in his prayer. Jonah 2 and verse 2 says, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Compare that with Psalm 120 and verse 1. Now you don't have to turn to Psalm 120 verse 1 unless you're really quick, because I'm not waiting on you. I'm going to read it for you. I have them all written out. Psalm 120 verse 1, in my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Psalm 18:6 is another one. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto God, he heard. So both of those psalms go right with Jonah chapter 2, verse 2. Jonah 2, verse 3. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Psalm 42:7. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Jonah 2:3 also says, the floods compassed me about. Psalm 18:4. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Jonah 2:4 says, I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Psalm 31:22. I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Jonah 2 and verse 5 says, the waters compassed me about, even to my soul. Psalm 69:1 says, the waters are come into my soul. Jonah 2:7 says, my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Psalm 18:6, he heard my voice out of his temple. Jonah 2:6, yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. Psalm 16:10, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Jonah 2:9 says, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Psalm 50 and verse 14 says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. He was praying according to the Word of God. He was so familiar with the truths that are found in the book of Psalms that they naturally poured out of him when he prayed. Brother Butler went on to say, the world has its slogans, phrases, and philosophies which it incorporates in its speech, in its communication, and in its lifestyle. Too often when Christians pray, they sound much like the world. For their prayers are filled not with the Word, but with the speech, thinking, and behavior of the world. No wonder so many prayers are an abomination to the Lord. But we can pray with success if we will incorporate the Word of God into our prayers. its philosophies, its precepts, and its promises need to establish the character of our prayers. Jonah's devotions excelled and primarily because they were built on the foundation of the Word of God. Boy, what a powerful lesson that is about prayer and how it's connected to the truth of Scripture. Now, another practical observation and application from Jonah chapter 2. We learn that it's healthy for our spiritual lives to always remember God and His mercies. Our acts of devotion and praise to the Almighty should be exercised daily. I guarantee you, if your mind is right and your heart's right, you can find something to thank God for and praise Him for each and every day of your life. And we'd be so much happier if we learned to spend our lives in this attitude of gratitude, in a way where we're rejoicing in the Lord. I often think, I always go back to the book of Philippians. It's a prison epistle. And yet the theme that runs throughout the entire epistle is rejoice in the Lord. And there's so much in there about exalting the Lord. And what really tears me up spiritually is when I read Philippians chapter 3 and how spiritual Paul's desires were. That he was willing to go through anything, even death, to be made conformable to the image of Jesus Christ. He gave up everything to follow Christ. We ought to think often upon God so that we'll not be so apt to wander out of His ways. Jonah learned this. If he had remembered the Lord sooner and the importance of obeying His precepts promptly and cheerfully, he would not have wound up in the belly of the whale. Now we know providentially, sometimes we'll say things like humanly speaking because that's all we know. But God had plans for Jonah. He knew all from the end, from the beginning. He knew that Jonah's desire was going to be rebellion. And this was how he's going to have to be dealt with. And then we learn that our chief end in life is to glorify God and to serve Him. If only we could settle that. So often we want our way, when we want it, how we want it. And if it happens that things are going okay, and we'll serve the Lord. We'll do this or we'll do that. If we could just settle it, that everything in our lives ought to be dedicated to God, that we would present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, every day, resigning ourselves cheerfully, saying, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? How will You have me to live? What will You have me to think? What will you have me to say? How would you have me to react when this circumstance comes? Not my will, but thine be done. Each day we should be mindful of our vows to serve the one who loved us, gave himself for us, and saved us from our sins. We've been bought with a price. We belong to the Lord. Let's cheerfully submit this temple to him every day in an act of worship, and make all of life an act of worship. God alone is worthy of our highest devotion, praise, and commitment. And then the final application I would make is something that we dealt with at length last Sunday. No one but God can claim to be the author and finisher of salvation. God alone has the power and the ability to save sinners and keep them saved. And that's the essence of Jonah's theology when he said salvation is of the Lord. Let's remember that every day. It's all of his grace, his power, and how thankful we ought to be to be a part of that. That's some practical application to Jonah chapter 2. Now next week, it's somebody else's turn to teach Sunday school. Alan, you got your lesson yet? You don't have to tell me if you don't want to. Huh? Okay. Here's what I do, all right? In fact, people will probably start tuning in now that they know the schedule. Whenever there's a fifth Sunday in the month, I have one of our men teach Sunday school. And then that only happens four times a year. Now, you may not be obsessive like I am. I write everything down. I have a schedule for nearly everything. But so the fifth Sunday, I always got somebody else teaching Sunday school. And then the first Sunday of the month. So I got 2 weeks off, basically, in a row. Or should I put it this way? You all have 2 weeks off in a row where you actually hear somebody you like teaching Sunday school. But that's how I, this has helped me a lot. Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. You don't realize it. Preparing, preaching four times a week, and sometimes even more if you're preaching revivals and things like that, it can grind a little fella like me down some. You need a break occasionally. And to hear somebody else and to let your mind be free from preparation. So that's why I do that. And it's helped me a lot. And I want to thank the men that are willing to do that, because it's been a blessing to me, and I think it's been a blessing to our church as well. All right, we're dismissed. God bless you.